Welcome in, as you can tell, back in the San Francisco studio. So Jimmy Garoppolo is in the news with a quote that may or may not be about the 49ers. And good timing for us, we've got another excellent Brock Purdy stat that I might as well share with you right now, because I think it does a really good job illustrating the difference, the improvement that the 49ers have seen at the quarterback position since moving to Brock Purdy versus the good quarterback play that they were getting with Jimmy Garoppolo. But take a look at this. This is an XY chart. It's got this from Twitter. Pressure to sack rate is the X-axis at the bottom. Turnover worthy play rate under pressure is the Y-axis. So you want to be further to the left and further down. This quadrant right here says doesn't take sacks or turn the ball over. So turnover worthy play rate is lower. And obviously the pressure to sack rate is lower. That's a ratio at the bottom. The upper left is turns the ball over but doesn't take sacks. It's a dubious place to be. The upper right's the worst place to be. Takes sacks and turns the ball over. And the bottom right is takes sacks but doesn't turn the ball over. So bottom left is where you want to be. Look where Brock Purdy is. Who else has been in the bottom left over the course of the four seasons since 2020? Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Herbert. If we're going to talk about the difference between Purdy and Garoppolo, well, Garoppolo since 2020, I know this doesn't include Garoppolo's prime, which unfortunately was a little too short in 2017. I'm sure he's better in 2017, but since 2020, he's gotten sacked a lot and he's thrown a lot of picks or turnover-worthy plays. I guess that's a better measure of things. So Garoppolo has been an upper right guy here, and Purdy has been a lower left guy in here. And you'd rather be a lower left guy than an upper right guy. Now, if we want to look at this in the big picture, this is really good. I have this zoomed out a little bit now. Since 2017, so this is since Kyle Shanahan took over as the 49ers coach, Purdy's been the most efficient quarterback in football. If you go efficiency and completion percentage over expectation, it's been Purdy, Mahomes, and Breeze in your top three. Aaron Rodgers, number five. Now, Garoppolo acquitted himself well, too, over his time with the 49ers, but this goes all the way back to 2017, so it's going to include his best football in 2017. Purdy, obviously, has a smaller sample, 729 plays, but I said it so that we can compare Purdy against some of these other guys. Smallest sample of anybody in the top, and we can scroll down until Jordan Love. Jordan Love has a 769 snap sample. He is 23rd, as you can see here. Everybody else is well over 1,000. Oh, no, Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, since 2017, because he came into the league before then, had a sample about as big as Brock Purdy's. Now, isn't that fascinating? 726 plays. That counted between the 2017 and the end of his career. Brock Purdy, 729 plays. He's at the very top. Garoppolo didn't fare poorly either, but there is a gap, and it's a sizable one, between the good efficiency the 49ers got from Jimmy Garoppolo, and Garoppolo's number is worsened here by his time with the Raiders, which didn't go well at all, but it was good efficiency with the 49ers and the absolutely seismically great efficiency that Brock Purdy delivered the 49ers. Illustrated in another way, X, Y axis, this one you want to be further to the right and further up. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo was always a top right guy for the 49ers. Even the bad year with the Raiders didn't really take him too far out of there. But look at the efficiency that Brock Purdy showing. I mean, that's Purdy, Mahomes, Breeze. That is absolutely elite territory where Brock Purdy is at. I've got some really, really cool material coming out with Brock Purdy this week. I can't divulge more, but later this week, it's going to be good. We're going to delve into the things that make Brock Purdy great. And one of the things that's great about Brock Purdy is the fact that he's got such wildly good escapability. So many people were wrong about this last year, right? I could name names. I'm not going to name names because it's not worth naming names, but there's a lot of names who did not give Brock Purdy credit for being one of the more mobile quarterbacks in football, one of the elite movers in football. Didn't give him credit for his pocket presence. might have given him credit for his accuracy, but they thought, you know, the old game manager tag refused to acknowledge the fact that he was sensational when it came to getting away from pass rushers. So when you see something like this and you see Purdy in that bottom left, he's just like Brady in that he can get away from pass rushers. It's a different skill set because he's a little bit quicker. Brady, I think, had the faster release. Purdy quicker with his burst at his lower body, especially at a young age. But they both achieve the same goal. They're able to keep a low turnover-worthy play rate and a low sack ratio. Prescott, also a good quarterback. Hurts, some people might be a little surprised to see him there. I'm not, because he can evade sacks. Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. See a little bit of C.J. Stroud and Kyler Murray in this area as well. And then obviously Kirk Cousins. Look at that little dot for Teddy Bridgewater. Now, the size of the dot is the amount of turnover. The amount of big-time throws. So the more big-time throws, the bigger the dot. And there you have Purdy with a fairly big dot. Guess who didn't have a big dot? Jimmy Garoppolo over here. Smaller dot because he wasn't throwing that ball downfield with nearly as much success as we've seen from Brock Purdy. So 49ers went from efficient to absolutely great at quarterback. Now, speaking of Jimmy Garoppolo, our Jeff Howe over at The Athletic recently caught up with Jimmy Garoppolo at Rams camp. And Jimmy Garoppolo said this, and I am not misquoting him. This is straight from Jeff's article. And if we want to see this in full context, why don't we go right here. So Jimmy said, quote, "This place allows you to be yourself too, which is different than other places I've been. You're getting pressed with a sense of urgency, but in a good way. Obviously, everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to perform well. They do it in the right way here. They push you positively. There's just a lot of good things going on, man. I'm enjoying every bit of it. Even the meetings are a good time. Everything is going good right now." Well, obviously, there's one part of that quote that should raise some eyebrows more than the other, and it's the one that I have on the screen still at the bottom. "This place allows you to be yourself," speaking of Sean McVay's Rams, "which is different than other places I've been." Now, I've covered this extensively back when Jimmy was with the 49ers. He shared a few quotes with us. It was, remember when Trey Lance got hurt? That was week two of the 2022 season against the Seahawks. Garoppolo came in and he got the Lance playbook. He felt that the 49ers didn't give him the same playbook as far as being able to air it out, stretch the field a little bit more. And he did fine with the Lance playbook. He was just winging it and they beat the Seahawks by a lot. And after the game, Jimmy Garoppolo was a little bit retroactively frustrated. He wanted Kyle Shanahan to allow him to freewheel a little bit more, maybe push the ball downfield a little bit more, but obviously the 49ers didn't do that. So it's really interesting to me when we heard those thoughts from Garoppolo in 2022, which obviously insinuated that the 49ers and Shanahan weren't letting him be who he wanted to be. Now he goes and takes a shot as the backup quarterback of the Rams, which is different than other places I've been. I think it's a good bet that Jimmy Garoppolo was speaking of the 49ers. My take on this is simple. And I get it that there was, you know, a definite sign of hard feelings at the end of that relationship, and it finally ran its course, and the 49ers finally didn't bring Jimmy Garoppolo back for another year. It took the discovery of Brock Purdy for them to firmly cross that bridge and put it in their rearview mirror. Despite the fact that there were bad feelings there from Jimmy's side and maybe some from the 49ers side as well, both Shanahan and Garoppolo got the very best out of each other over the course of their relationship. It wasn't always the most pleasant working relationship, but I think the results at the end of the day, for those of us who look at this objectively, were absolutely undeniable. This includes Garoppolo's time with the Raiders, seventh since 2017. Hell, I could take away the 2023 season. Let's just have 2022 on there. We can update this. Let's let this reload and let's see where Jimmy Garoppolo is from 2017 to 2022. There you go. So, I mean, his time with the Raiders was a definite struggle and it dropped him down to seventh or eighth on this list. But as far as efficiency goes, with the 49ers from 2017 to 2022, he was behind only Mahomes and Breeze. There obviously was a symbiotic relationship between Garoppolo, Shanahan, and the 49ers playmakers that worked and that won a lot of games. Now, obviously, when you have comments like this from Garoppolo, there are some hard feelings. I mean, last year, the 49ers at this time had the joint practices with the Raiders. That's when Jimmy was still there. I don't think Shanahan and Garoppolo greeted each other on the field. So that's in the past. And I think it's important to, I think it's really, really important to contextualize history and be honest about history and be honest about the production that the 49ers saw with their play caller quarterback tandem. When he was healthy, I think that the injuries were a big problem and it was good production over several years. And I think that both men got the best out of each other, regardless of how it's going to be framed moving forward. The data is the data. The results are the results. The 49ers won a heck of a lot of football games, and Jimmy Garoppolo was really efficient doing it. But he's back in the news now with this article from Jeff Howe saying, "The Rams, this place allows you to be yourself, which is different than other places I've been." All right, let's move on to what happened in the 49ers facility today. Kyle Shanahan is confident that Brandon Ayuk, despite the fact that he continues his hold-in, is staying in shape. Now, I'm going to let you listen to Shanahan right now, courtesy of the 49ers, but there are other some notes on top of that that we're going to have to get to that are important qualifiers for what Kyle Shanahan said. Have a listen.
Not with us. You know, I trust Brandon knows what he's got to do for this year to get ready to play. I have a feeling he's finding a way to stay in shape and do those things. But there's a football shape element that I know he's eager to get back to, and us too. So hopefully we can get to that soon. But Brandon knows what he's got to do to be in shape for the season, and I feel confident he's doing that.
Isaac Yiadom, I don't know if we've had an update on him.
So Kyle Shanahan says that, yeah, I'm confident he's staying in shape, but he also makes sure to throw in there, football shape is different. This was an issue with Nick Bosa last year. They said, yeah, of course, Nick is probably staying in phenomenal physical condition over at his gym in Fort Lauderdale. So even if he's not here during training camp, even if he's not here in preseason, the 49ers didn't have any worries about Nick Bosa being in shape. But John Lynch said it last year before the fact. This wasn't just after the fact that he said it. He said there's a difference between a football callus and just being in standard good shape in the gym, that you actually have to play football to build up that callus. Maybe at defensive end, it's a little bit different than receiver, although I would say maybe at receiver, it's actually more important to build that callus because the callus is different. The callus is more muscle memory and timing with your quarterback. So you heard the warning there from Kyle Shanahan if you read in between the lines. He wants Brandon Ayuk back out on the practice field. To me, it sounds like the 49ers are getting increasingly more optimistic they could get something done. Obviously, still a fluid situation, but they want him back out on the practice field so he can begin reworking his timing with Brock Purdy. That's going to be very, very necessary over the course of the next few weeks or however long they're going to have with Brandon Ayuk, once, assuming he does get back to camp, once he is back in the 49ers building. While Ayuk is gone, the 49ers have another receiver who's playing the X, the same position as Brandon Ayuk, and this guy has been a complete professional. Just wait till you listen to Chris Conley talk not only about his receiver job, but also about delivering on special teams, which is not often glamorous, but this guy was the best gunner for the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and he is as selfless as they come. The veteran, the speedster, Chris Conley, impressing today in front of the media.
I mean, we approach really every day the same, you know, attacking it and being available and doing whatever is asked. You know, the last couple years of my career have been a lot of things, you know, played a lot of roles, and I've prided myself in being able to play each of those roles well. And, you know, I've been asked to do some of those things here, whether it's on teams and on offense, and having that trust from coaches and your teammates is a good thing. And so we're attacking it the same way and trying to be dependable. You know, I actually take pride in it now. I think that, you know, there's a misconception that certain things on the football field are more valuable than others. And I think that with time and experience, you realize that each of those roles are equally important and they contribute to your success on Sunday or Monday or Thursday. And, you know, ultimately getting where your team wants to go. And so if I can be one of those roles that helps the team, you know, secure a victory, I'm content being that. I'd rather be in one of those spots helping the team win than being helpless on the sideline or at home and just watching. So
you came out of Georgia
right there from Chris Conley. What an answer, right? He's right. A lot of times people look down on special teams. They'll say, oh, he's just the gunner. He's not actually contributing on offense. So guess what? Chris Conley had two catches last year. He didn't get to contribute on offense. The 49ers were absolutely stacked. So through the regular season, he was hardly an offensive contributor. But he kept himself ready because he's a professional. And once the time for the playoffs came and there was that injury to Deebo Samuel against the Green Bay Packers, Conley was an important part of the 49ers offense to keep their season alive. And because he was a professional, because he ran the route perfectly on that deep out, that kind of corner-like route where Brock Purdy threw before he came out of his break, allowed the 49ers to score the go-ahead game-winning touchdown against the Packers. Professionalism at its finest. Then you move forward to the NFC Championship game. Conley made a couple big catches there. In the Super Bowl, though, he was the best gunner. If the 49ers win that Super Bowl, people are talking about Chris Conley and the two punts that he downed deep in Chiefs territory. So this is the guy that took every single part of his job seriously and earned a lot of respect inside the 49ers building. That's a culture guy. It's a guy that you have on the roster because he gets the job done. I mean, don't get me wrong. This is not some kind of try-hard guy out of a D2 school who ran a 4.7 40. Chris Conley's a 4.3 guy, maybe even borderline 4.2. Super, super impressive player. We could even take a look at the roster here to see where exactly Chris Conley fits in. As you can see, I have him on the 49ers 53-man roster picture. I think that he's going to be the sixth receiver. Right here, I have him. I have seven listed right now. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to handle that. They've taken seven before, but they didn't hold seven for long. It was the year they're giving Jalen Hurd his final shot. But Conley, between his gunner ability and just his role as the X receiver, especially while Brandon Ayuk is out, even if Brandon Ayuk does return, but if he returns a little too close to the regular season, and you're going to want to make sure you got somebody that's in total flow with Brock Purdy, Conley is at a very, very important juncture of this 49ers roster. There's another receiver that San Francisco picked up, and it is Robbie Chosen. So this used to be Robbie Anderson, and then he changed his name to Chosen Anderson. I think he changed the spelling of his name at some point. I think Robbie's been with a Y, and it's been IE. But now his name is Robbie Chosen. This is going to be the first part of our 49ers roster check-in. He was in uniform for the first time today. We're going to have Shanahan talking about Robbie Chosen.
In his whole career, I mean, especially going back to the Jets, I mean, just the speed he's had on the way he plays for a guy who can run so fast. I always thought he played physical, ran his routes very well. When you're a very good go runner, streak runner, but also can run a slant, it's a problem. Love that he has some experience in our offense with just being with Miami last year. And we got him in on a workout last week, and he looked like what we've seen from Chosen in the past. And we're excited to get him on board at this time.
So Chosen Anderson or Robbie Chosen, it's hard to keep track of what his name is because he's changed it four times, literally four times. With the 49ers, you didn't hear Shanahan mention that he was with Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins last year, which gives San Francisco some confidence in that regard. All right, that is 49ers intel. Let's go to 49ers Q&A. Cross-country flight this morning. I did a lot of work a little bit earlier today that you'll get to enjoy a little bit later this week. Cannot reveal what that is yet. Then I swung by 49ers practice. It was a really light session today. Only the ones went. They didn't want to burden the twos and the threes who were still recovering following their heavy action in the preseason game against Tennessee. 49ers are recovering from quite a few injuries right now. They're not going to go down to Irvine to do the joint practices with the Saints. They're not going to do joint practices with the Raiders next week. No joints for the 49ers today. This year, actually, they had the joint practices throughout the entirety of the Shanahan era, with the exception of 2020. So it's going to be 2020, and they weren't allowed back then in 2020. That was the year where camp was on heavy lockdown. So 2020 and 2024 will not see any joint practices with the 49ers. However, this live will see a 49ers Q&A. So why don't we have at it? Papa J saying Taylor over Cowing. Kyle Shanahan had a good quote about special teams today. He said, and I you know, really wish I could find this quote right now. I think I wrote it down at some point today, but it's not going to pop up. Oh, here it is. Yeah. You always want to win the game on special teams, but the main thing is you don't lose it. Once again, Kyle Shanahan on special teams. I'll put this up, because this is worth looking at for philosophy purposes. You always want to win the game on special teams, but the main thing is you don't lose it. So our comment is Trent Taylor, Graydon, and Cowing. Everybody wants to think about upside on special teams, but avoiding downside is more important. The 49ers lost the game on special teams last year. Was it anybody's blatant fault? No, I would argue that it's bad luck. The ball bounced off of Darrell Luter Jr.'s leg, and then Ray McLeod was unable to pick it up, but that was a bang-bang play, split second. But the point is that that was a special teams play that went south, that was the responsible for the biggest point swing in expected points in favor of the Chiefs in that football game. That play was worth seven. It was like worth a touchdown in a game that the 49ers lost in overtime. So they just needed a little bit extra. They didn't get a little bit extra. That let an inferior team in the Chiefs back in the game. So when you talk about Trent Taylor, he didn't muff a punt with the 49ers during his first tenure with the team. That's big. I don't care if you can return a kick for a touchdown twice a season, once a season. If you're going to muff a couple punts, those might be more damaging than any touchdown you might be able to attain. So my motto for special teams, first and foremost, don't screw it up. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan implied in that quote today. What I think of the new kickoff rule and how the 49ers did this last game, I don't really think it matters that they did the last game because they didn't use any of their top guys. I think they're going to use Juszczyk and they're going to use Deebo Samuel. They had Ronnie Bell lead blocking, which shows you just how seriously they were taking it. He's 190 pounds, dripping wet. You got to have a 220-pounder lead blocking. The 49ers were just collecting data. They were looking at what they did. They're looking at what the rest of the league did, and now they're going to start devising strategy. So I'm intrigued by the new rule, and I don't have an opinion on how the 49ers did yet, because that first game was just throwing guys out there to see what might happen. You start devising actual plans starting this week. Look at Jim Everett chiming in. Likes Dominic Pooney. Says Dominic Pooney's been impressive. 14 pass blocking snaps for Dominic Pooney. No pressures given up. He's got an anchor on him. The anchor is something that I think has been generally weaker in 49ers offensive linemen over the Shanahan years. They've wanted guys that are light on their feet, guys that can burst out of the box, and sometimes that's been vulnerable to bull rushes. The bull rushes started overwhelming this line at times. Now, Purdy's been awesome because he's been able to overcome pressure, as we've seen. We can go back to the top of the show when we were comparing what the 49ers got from Brock Purdy to what they got from Jimmy Garoppolo. And Purdy's in the bottom left right here, where you want to be with Brady, Mahomes, Prescott, Cousins, Hurts. Garoppolo's up here in the top upper right. The reason that Purdy's in the bottom left is because he's been able to beat pressure, and the 49ers have faced quite a bit of it with an offensive line that hasn't been able to anchor all that well. That's why Dominic Pooney is such an intriguing addition to this football team. Do I get the vibe is off? The sense of the vibe is off the training camp of this team? No, I'm not somebody that believes in vibe or assessing it. I mean, there might be a vibe, but that is open. Judging it is opens one up to so much bias and subjectivity. It's not even funny. I'll tell you one thing. At this time last year, everybody was saying that the vibe was off for the 49ers. Oh, Bosa's not around yet. The vibe is off. This season's going downhill. Guys are banged up. The team came out and dominated the league for five straight weeks. Earned the number one seed and then lost the Super Bowl in overtime. So I think the vibe was okay. Whatever was going on vibe-wise during the preseason didn't affect the 49ers moving into the regular season. My problem with people who come out and say that the vibe is off is when those people, and I'm not saying that I'll do it, but if those very same people say it every year, inevitably they'll be right in that a team will struggle because it's the NFL. It's impossible to be excellent every year. And they'll point at, oh, look, I said the vibe was off in August. See, I was right. But nobody in 2023 ever pointed back at what they said in August after the 49ers started 5-0. Nobody last season said, oh, yeah, I called it. The vibe was up because the 49ers ended up being good. That's what we call confirmation bias. You throw something up against the wall that you can't really judge. It's extremely subjective, like vibe. I mean, come on, it's professional sports. Can we grow up a little bit? But you throw something up against the wall, and then you only revisit it, and you only say, oh, yeah, what I said there is great, when the results that you predicted end up happening. But results don't, you know, are necessarily going to happen, right? So it's guess and check kind of stuff. It's subjective guess and check kind of stuff when we start talking about vibe. This is the NFL. What a team does in week one onward is what's going to determine whether or not it makes the playoffs, and obviously what it does from the playoffs onward determines the Super Bowl. Talking about feelings and vibes on August 12th, that's something that people like to do to generate controversy, to generate comments, to generate talk online, but it's not valuable beyond that. Now, the problem is that the 49ers do have a lot of injuries, and you obviously want to stay as healthy as possible. That being said, they have gone through really, really strenuous seasons prior to this one, like in consecutive seasons prior to this one. It wasn't just the Super Bowl run last year that was strenuous and they may be tired, fatigued, worn down from that. Now, the year before, they also played 20 games, the same amount of games, and they lost in the NFC Championship. The season before, they also lost in the NFC Championship. They were the wild card team, and they played 20 games in both of those two seasons. So you can argue that the cumulative wear and tear of the past three seasons, 60 games in three seasons, might be catching up to the 49ers. That could be an interesting hypothesis. I don't think there's any way that we could prove that. But you could say, okay, maybe that's linked to the injuries and a little bit of the physical malaise that they're going through right now. But I think this team has established the benefit of the doubt, and we can't know that for sure yet, but they've established the benefit of the doubt that they can bounce back from a 20-game marathon to play well in the subsequent season. Now, are they the oldest roster in football? Yes. Are they too old? I don't think so. Are they going to have to modernize through the draft? Yes. Early returns on this 2024 draft class are already good. Malik Mustafa, that's somebody who can help you modernize right away. They're going to have to modernize with the next draft as well. But I think it's far, far too early to count the 49ers out just because you see a few guys hurt and you say, oh, this is a few more injuries than last year. We're on August 12th. And, you know, we're not going to waste our time talking about vibes and talking about injury irregularities as some kind of disqualifier for what happens in September. We're going to look at this in the big picture and wait to see how the rest of August goes and how the regular season actually begins before we firmly evaluate where the 49ers are. All right, that's it. I flew today. I went 30 minutes. I went to practice today. I've been on both sides of the country. That's our podcast episode. Go check out the Lombardi Lounge on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can re-listen to this show there. Obviously, hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We hit 75,000. We have become the first 49ers individual proprietor YouTube account to hit 75,000. Really cool. Some really, really good fan accounts and places that have done a great job. Brad and I don't know if our SF 49ers runs the YouTube, but Brad at the SF Niners does a great job. He's got a monster of a channel over there. You got to go check Brad out. Love the work that he does. We've done a collaboration with him before. But we're in a different kind of category, obviously, and hitting 75,000 first has been really, really neat. And guess what? We're not done there. We're going to hit 100,000 first as well. So we'll talk to everybody really soon. Thanks for the support. Hit that subscribe button, and we will see you on Tuesday.